Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to NPR News, and I'm Angela Davis. Woo, I'm so glad it's Friday, aren't you? Are you exhausted from making decisions? Right now, we're going to talk about the brain fog a lot of us are feeling after having to make so many choices in the changing and stressful conditions of the pandemic. It's a real thing, decision fatigue. And the next decision many families face is how to handle spring break. Maybe you canceled a trip last year when COVID arrived and were looking forward to getting away this year. But the CDC advises no travel. I have two guests joining me for this conversation who can offer some insight and some advice, and I want to hear from you too. The phone lines are open. Are you worn down from making decisions about every little thing during this pandemic? And if you have children who have a spring break coming up, are you wondering whether to travel or not? Are you looking for something local to do over the break? Tell us about your thought process and whether these decisions are wearing you down. The number is 651-227-6000. Again, that is 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at Angela Davis, NPR. I have two guests joining me right now. We've got Kathleen Voss on the line, and Kathleen is a marketing professor in the Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota. She has many research interests, and one of them is decision fatigue. She studies how the very act of making decisions wears us down. Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm so eager to hear from you this morning. We also have on the line Nikki Bruner. Now, Nikki blogs about adventure and travel with her three children at minimamaadventures.com. Is that right, Nikki? Did I get that right?
Minimamaadventures.com. That's correct. You got it.
Her kids are ages 11, 9, and 5, so you know it is on in her house. She joins us from St. Louis Park today. Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
So, Kathleen, let me begin with you. You researched this. So how do you describe what is happening with a lot of people, a lot of us? I'm included in this. I have decision fatigue. Why does it feel more exhausting now than before when it comes to making decisions?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is just the mere fact of making decisions is very challenging for the mind. I know it doesn't maybe seem like that sometimes, but making decisions is a highly sophisticated activity for the human mind, and it's something that humans do far more and far better than any other animals. And so it's something that is very advanced and something that came on late in our evolutionary history, which tells us that in some ways, while being advanced, it might also be what you might think of as fragile. Something that maybe was earlier on in our evolutionary history might be considered more basic. And so when you've got this fragile capacity, you know, we can make decisions for sure. But then you put on top of that all kinds of new conditions and changing considerations, that ability to make decisions becomes taxed even more so. And so what makes the pandemic all the more challenging is that we're fully inexperienced in being pandemic decision makers. And the criteria and the conditions are often changing with, for example, on again, off again schooling or team sports for our children. There's now off again, on again mask mandates in different states. And so all of that really makes the decision-making process all the more difficult.
Yeah, there's ambiguity. I mean, it's not clear right now sometimes what the right decision is.
Absolutely. I know that the lockdown period was really hard on a lot of people and especially a lot of families, but in another sense, it removed a whole category of decision making, and that provided some psychological relief, at least in that aspect of our lives. Now we're making decisions once again and again and again, and we're making them often on a case-by-case basis.
And it also feels as though if I make the wrong decision, then the consequences, I mean, they could be big.
Right. I mean, whoever thought that the decision about whether to go to the grocery store would include the possibility of death. And that's not something that we would normally associate with our everyday activities. And then you pair it with, for example, thinking about taking the family on holiday, which is normally something that's associated with pleasure and joy and bonding and happiness, but now has this like deep undercurrent of fear and anxiety, worry and dread. Yeah, it's very challenging.
And can, you know, I said in the introduction that, you know, I asked, is your brain tired, or can your brain get tired?
Yeah, your brain can get tired, so to speak. I mean, I think scientifically that's not exactly how we would describe it, but essentially you sort of just give up on doing the brain activities that you would otherwise be doing. So, for example, when people feel decision fatigue, they typically show one of two patterns. One, their decisions change, so they oftentimes just stop making decisions altogether. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been in the evening and trying to decide what to have for dinner, and the only thing you really can recognize in your feelings is that you don't care. That would be one example. And the other is that people's decisions sometimes change for the worse. They become less ill-informed and more done a little bit like what we call heuristically, which is just a very quick way of making decisions. The other thing is people just stop being able to do the things that result in self-improvement. So their self-control falters, their focus falters, et cetera. So those would be like the ways that our mind is telling us that it's fatigued.
And so I'm glad you used the dinner decision. And I can't decide what to make for dinner. So you know what? I'm not going to cook.
I mean, absolutely. Or you ask someone else to decide.
Yeah. Or
what do you want?
I think a lot of people, I can't decide what to wear, so I'm going to wear the same thing for 3 days.
Absolutely. So one of the things that's cropped up with this decision fatigue research is that people have adopted a work uniform as a way to combat decision mm-hmm. fatigue. And actually mm-hmm. that was spurred by President Obama, who learned about my research and said he's not going to make decisions about what to eat or what to wear because he's got to conserve his decision-making ability for the big things. Mm-hmm. And then Mark Zuckerberg took a line presumably from Obama, but mm-hmm. also said that that's the reason why he wears a gray hoodie every single day, so that he doesn't have to decide what to wear.
Nikki, you have 3 children. Do you relate to this idea of decision fatigue, particularly now during the pandemic?
More than I can put into words, yes.
But let's put it into words. I mean, what have you been feeling? Give us some examples of how you think, like, something's going on here. I'm tired of making all of these choices.
Yeah, she hit so many things on mm-hmm. the head. For me, the 3 are younger, so they were going to school, then not going to school, then hybriding to school. Should I send them to school? Mm-hmm. So school was a big thing. And then there were play dates, right? Do you have them? Do they have to be outside? If I make the decision to send them with this kid, it's not fair if I can't send them with this kid. And then by the time dinner does come along, I don't want to do it. And I also just want to wear the same pair of sweatpants. So what you're saying, I completely resonate with.
So many of us are living the same life. Okay. I feel better now. And so how have you handled that? I mean, you know, a part of it too, with the decision fatigue, and you know, you're making decisions, but then your neighbor, your friends are also making decisions, and you may not be on the same page about anything, and your worlds kind of collide.
Yeah, that was very tricky. I like Kathleen said, it was a lot easier when we were all told to stay in our homes. Mm-hmm. That was what we had to do. There was no other option. And then people started getting looser, and some didn't. And then you could tell there was underlying judgment, and nobody likes that. So mm-hmm. it was hard. And it was, I think for us, it was a matter of talking to the kids, just honestly, but not scary. But honestly, like this is why we can't do this. And this is the other option that we can do that Dad and I are comfortable with. Your friends might not be doing the same thing. And just honesty worked for us for the most part.
I want to bring our listeners into the conversation as we talk about decision fatigue, just being tired of trying to make a choice about even simple things right now. Is it wearing you down? And we've got some big decisions that we still need to make in the coming weeks and months as it pertains to COVID-19 and how we're going to manage it. The number to call is 651-227-6000. Again, 651-227-6000. To the phone lines, let's start in Wisconsin, in Menominee, where Sherry's on the phone. Hey, Sherry. Sherry,
good
go
morning.
Ahead. Hi.
Hi. I want to thank you for this this topic today. I'm on my way to get my first vaccination, and I'm very emotional because this last year, every decision I've made after up as a state, I felt what was a wrong decision and a right decision. I was worried about getting my parents sick, worried about getting my children sick, isolation, not knowing if I should go places, and judgment from other people based on things that I, you know, had to do. I had to travel twice. So I think this is very real, and I think that it's been almost overwhelming, and I feel like the underlying cause of all this is just this overwhelming anxiety about what the consequences of what your decisions could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sherry, I'm happy you're able to get your vaccine today, and I'm glad that you called in. Kathleen Voss, what do you hear in what Sherry just described? She used the word worry a lot, and she used the word anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she's describing many of us have also experienced. And one thing that Sherry mentioned, which I'm really picking up on, about that makes the pandemic-related decisions different than the decisions we often make in everyday life is that there is this what we call prescriptive aspect to it, which is to say that there is a rightness and a wrongness to it. So think of many decisions that you make: what color socks to wear, what to make for dinner, maybe even just where to go on spring break. Those don't have a rightness and a wrongness component. But now you've got this kind of ethical, moral, societal overlay to the decisions that we're making, which just amplifies, as she mentioned, anxiety and worry. And there isn't really a way to know whether what you're deciding is right or wrong. And so it just makes the decision-making process so much more challenging because you feel the weight of the potential consequences almost anywhere you look.
I want to bring in another listener in St. Paul. Brandon's on the phone as we talk about decision fatigue. And Brandon, how are you handling this?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call. I try not to take up a lot of your time, but I understand what everybody else is talking about. But for me, it's about prioritization and it's about common sense. And as you guys was talking about, oh, what color socks to wear, this and this and that. Well, we are humans, and we have the greatest thing in the world, the greatest creation of all, which is our minds and how we can adapt and how we can cope and have the capacity of making all these decisions. Now, when people get dressed, they tend to think of what other people think about them instead of thinking about how they feel about themselves with what they wear. But for me, I look at it like, you know what? I'm going to do me. I'm going to wear what I'm going to wear. I'm going to handle this how I'm going to handle this. And I have four kids ranging 5, 7, 18, and 24. And I don't do anything. So the decisions I base it on is my kids. If it doesn't benefit my kids in one way or another, I'm not going to do it. Everybody who knows me knows this, which relieves a lot of stress, a lot of tension, you know, a lot of the outside people talking about me or making me feel bad about myself or anything like that. I boil it all down to that. It's common sense. How you prioritize your day or what you're doing, and do it, find a why as to what you're doing and why you're doing it. And for me, it's for my kids. Mm. So if I put all those together, my stress and everything just the whole ton of bricks just lifts right off my shoulders, and I'm able to. I'm going to my TV station right now to produce a show. So and I've been doing this all week, and it's like I should be stressed out right now, and I'm not because I know that this is going to benefit my kids in the long run. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I'm moving forward with my day, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like what you said about removing judgment from the, you know, decision-making process. Like, I don't care what people are thinking about me. I'm making decisions based on what I've determined are my priorities.
Yeah, because a lot of people make decisions based on what other people think or feel about them. And that's not the right way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should do it based on how you feel, how you carry yourself, because people will show you that respect with or without your permission based on how you apply what you do every day to your own choices.
All right. That's Brandon in St. Paul. Nikki, what do you think about what he's saying about how he makes decisions? He's simplified it, and that has removed a lot of the stress.
Yeah, I love that. And I try to do, I mean, I know a lot of people that try to do that on a regular basis in their own lives too. I as he was talking, I was thinking, yeah, I love it, and especially the judgment of other people. The problem for me lies still within my own mind, right? Like when I had the option to send them back to school the first time, however many months ago that was, I didn't necessarily care what my friends were doing with their children. I was more focused on our family, our underlying health conditions, but their socialization and their like one, you know, is one not doing as well in school as they would be in person versus. So I love the idea of simplification. I think it affects you. Your mind gets a little twisty too during all of this, because there are not necessarily a right and wrong for certain things. Mm. But
yeah, Kathleen, yes. What did you hear in what Brandon just said there about removing judgment from his decision-making process and just trying to simplify things?
Well, I think what Brandon and also what Nikki, both of what they were talking about kind of hits upon some of the tension that I think that the decision process has laid bare. So on the one hand, I think Brandon's right. Like the way I think about that in the work that I do is knowing your values. Decisions get a lot easier when you know what you want to do and you think it's the right thing to do and those things align. And so Nikki's example about whether her children should go back to school, that's a very good example of that. But on the other hand, Nikki brings up a good point, which is that we are social creatures. I mean, people are inherently social and we belong to groups and we are in friendships, and those are really important aspects of our well-being. And that has also suffered so much during the pandemic. And so caring about what other people think is going to be part of many decisions in general. And then with the pandemic, that need, we call it the need to belong. That need to belong has really been suffocated to some extent. And so caring about what other people think may be a criterion all the more. So I feel like it's nice if you can know your values and move straight ahead, like the caller said. But on the other hand, it's very natural and makes a great deal of sense that we still care what other people are going to think about our decisions.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about decision fatigue and how our brains are getting tired. The pandemic has created a situation where we're constantly looking for answers to questions like, can we travel safely? Can we visit older family members if they've gotten vaccinated? Should our college students come home for spring break or not? Let's go to the phone lines and talk with Sid, who is calling in from Corcoran. Good morning, Sid.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Our family had a spring break trip scheduled last year that was obviously canceled due to COVID. And the kicker is the airline would not refund our money. They issued us vouchers. But, of course, those vouchers expire in the middle of March of this year. So we're faced with the decision of do we travel in uncertain times, or do we just throw that money down the tube?
Yeah, that's Sid, I'm glad you asked that question. A lot of people, myself included, had to cancel a spring break trip, airline tickets, hotels, all of that. And what I remember saying to my kids, you know what, we'll go next year. And here we are again, not traveling for spring break again. And I just want to remind folks that, again, the CDC is asking people to stay home for spring break. There's a concern that even though more people are getting vaccinated, the new variants of COVID will spread more quickly if people are traveling. And so, you know, the CDC, again, is saying avoid travel. And also one of our producers yesterday checked with the Metropolitan Airport Commission and found out that yesterday was the busiest day out at MSP International Airport since the pandemic started. More than 23,000 people passed through security. And as we talk about decision fatigue, what to do when mid-March, end of March through, you know, early April, when school districts, there won't be classes for kids. And so, Kathleen, Nikki, let me ask you, what are you going to do with your three kids for spring break? What happened to you last year with spring break?
Oh, last year was heartbreaking. Yeah, it was my husband turned 40, and we were scheduled to go to Puerto Rico. So
40th birthday celebration and spring break.
That went awry.
So you canceled the plans. What did you do?
We did. Mm-hmm. We stayed home and laid out beach towels, and my kids cut out sunshines, and we pretended we were in Puerto Rico.
And did you have the conversation, we'll go next year, baby?
We didn't. We didn't. But I'm glad we didn't.
What are you doing this year for spring break?
Well, this year we are actually driving. We made the decision to personal choice, underlying health conditions, everything considered, everything's a choice at this point. We are going to drive to Sleeping Bear Dunes in Michigan and do 100% outdoor activity. So That's so what our plan is.
What's out there, and what do you mean by outdoor activity?
The whole coast of the Great Lakes is up there. So we're just going to go up and around, see every single viewpoint we can. We love hikes. My kids could throw rocks for days, see some pretty sunsets. My husband's got it all planned out. I'm just kind of along for the ride. But my criteria was we don't go in anywhere that we can avoid.
So you feel better about the decision if the activities are outdoor, because that feels safer to you?
I do personally, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And yes. Kathleen Voss, spring break, that's a tough one. For a lot of families have, you know, traditions and routines. If we talk about, you know, the disruption of our routines because of the pandemic. First of all, let's talk about what the CDC is recommending. No travel, but yet we're still seeing people travel.
Yeah, we sure are. I have to think there might be a few people at MSP Airport listening to this right now. You know, I think one thing that the caller and then also what you mentioned, Angela, I think has some relevance here, which is to the extent that people may have promised or even suggested that a spring break plan from last year would take place this year, that makes the decision of whether to actually do it this year all the more difficult, because now you've what we call pre-commitment. You've pre-committed to a certain course of action. It's like when you've made a decision to do something, but you haven't executed it yet, and then you find yourself needing to revisit that decision, that is leaving people in a pretty bad state. It makes the decision just feel very taxing, very onerous. It puts people in a difficult spot psychologically. And then you've got these like interpersonal factors as well, which is that you've told the rest of your family that, you know, March and April of 2021, we're going to make it happen. So revisiting that decision now, I think, is something that a lot of folks are wrestling with. And that's a special kind of decision that you have to kind of undo a previous decision or at least reconsider it. So again, very, very challenging and quite unique to the circumstances that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. I messed up. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kathleen. I know.
No.
But that's the part of the decision. It's like, you know, you feel like you just keep failing in every decision you make. Like, again, as we talk about like the weariness of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would hope. I know exactly what you mean. And who could have forecasted? I mean, I don't think we would have forecasted. And if we had been able to back a year ago that we'd still be here now, that would have also not been great for our well-being either. So I think many of us totally understand why those assurances and promises were made. It's not a bad thing to reconsider decisions. It's just that it adds these layers. Now you have to talk to the folks that you've, you know, promised, and family members, and people get their hopes up and expectations. And so, yeah, it's difficult.
I do want to let people know, if you are curious about the CDC recommendations, there are a lot of details there. If you check out their website, they do say if you must travel, that the CDC is recommending getting tested for COVID 1 to 3 days before you travel, keeping a copy of your test results with you as you do travel. You may need those, to wear a mask. And then they also say if you do travel, again, they recommend that you don't, but if you do, to get tested again 3 to 5 days after your trip, and to plan to stay home and self-quarantine for 7 days after travel, even if your test is negative. Again, you can find that information on the CDC website. To the phone lines now again in East Bethel as we talk about decision fatigue and what to do. Belle is on the phone. Good morning, Belle.
Good morning.
What did you want to share with us?
So I'm a mom of four. My kids have been distance learning since March of last year. For health reasons, I've kept them home and, you know, safety reasons. And we're coming up on spring break, and my husband is experiencing the fatigue and wants to go out and wants to head to Duluth for a few days so that the kids can, you know, get that spring break experience. And on top of all of that, we have had to make the decision because two of our kids aren't doing so great in school, and the other two, you know, to be left at home, we've had to make the decision to put them back into the school building for in-person for all four of them. Mm-hmm. And it's just even considering every decision, the amount of stress that goes along with it, as you guys were talking about before, even just the smallest decisions, it creates such a weight. And as far as judgments, I look around at my neighbors and the decisions that they make. And at times it just feels overwhelming that I'm trying to make good decisions for my family. But then the judgments that go along with it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's Belle in East Bethel sharing what she's experiencing with her family. Kathleen, what are some solutions to decision fatigue? You researched this. If we have to keep making these choices in this environment of uncertainty, what can make it easier?
Yeah. I think the things, the advice that I typically give would be the things that we can do in our everyday lives that are in some sense, like less about pandemic life and more about life before the pandemic. For example, making dinner. We need to make dinner and we needed to in the before times. And so can you establish any kind of routine or this sort of a set plan for dinners? Can you make Monday chicken, Tuesday, whatever, Tuesday mm-hmm. is something
tacos.
Else, vegetarian Wednesday, et cetera. So exactly. Adopting exactly
Wednesday wings.
Friday.
Offering exactly. some ideas.
Friday's takeout, Saturday's leftovers right, right? takeout. Yeah. I know. I do the same. And I think we all have kind of inadvertently adopted the work uniform. Nothing wrong with that. And so essentially kind of like thinking about the places in your life where you may be making decisions that you maybe don't really need to, and trying to mm-hmm. put a little structure around those so as to lessen your need to make decisions like hour by hour and day by day, rather setting up some of those guidelines, personal guidelines, can be helpful in terms of reducing just the overall decisions.
Mm-hmm. Nikki, what have you found has been helpful? You have any solutions or suggestions to help manage decision fatigue as you have managed your home and your three kids and husband?
We do a lot of that same routine. That's definitely takes some of that hardness out of it. We have also had a lot of discussions about where we feel comfortable, what we feel comfortable with, who we feel comfortable with. Having these conversations and then also including the children in them, in the pieces they need to hear, that has helped a lot with being able to say yes or no, because there's a lot of, as all parents know right now, there's this disappointment that you feel like you're just constantly disappointing a kid or yourself or a
disappointment
spouse.
Fatigue. That's another one. Disappointment. Fatigue. Yes.
That I definitely had. Mm-hmm. And so doing, the routine thing is great. Having the conversations about what we're going to be okay with and not okay with is great. And then our family has done a lot of the same mundane stuff we've always done, but put a little bit of a creative spin on it to make it seem more adventurous than it ever was before. So that's helped with my mental state. I think with the kids, thinking they're stuck right now in a state of repetition. That's helped us a lot too.
Let's take another phone call in Minneapolis. Lacey's been holding on. Thank you for waiting, Lacey. Go right ahead.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, actually, some of my question was about, coping mechanisms. So you've already kind of talked about that, ways to do shortcuts, but I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old at home, and they are very spirited. And we actually have a hard, so to jump over to spring break, we have a very hard time traveling with them anyway, and it's pretty stressful. So we tend to not go at least flying for spring break. And so what I've been doing to kind of deal with the disappointment of not being going anywhere for a year is I'm planning ahead this summer, and I've actually planned more outings and activities that are driving distance in the summer. So we've gone before to the west or to the coast of Michigan on the Wisconsin side, a couple years in a row, and that's worked really well. So I've added a couple more of those trips and then added a trip to the North Shore. So I have something to look forward to that's positive, but that I also know works well, because we have, like I said, two spirited younger kids. One of them has ADHD. I also have ADHD. So we even have that extra mental kind of burden of having that bit of executive dysfunction that makes it hard to make decisions like in normal times. So at this time, it's even more of a weight, but trying to make decisions, like I will do the thing that I know works, that we've had fun before, and that really helps. And I have one more point about a coping mechanism, which is asking we don't need permission to make decisions in our lives, but it's really helped. It helps me sometimes to get permission from other people, like friends and family, to be like, you know what? It's okay that you didn't do that thing that you wanted to do, or it's okay that you didn't, you know, your kids ate junk for a couple of days. Like, just getting that kind of affirmation of it's okay. Like, let it go. It's okay. It's helpful as a form of support, you know, for getting friends and family to help you with that.
I like that. That's Lacey in Minneapolis. And Kathleen, she mentioned ADHD. In your research, was that included at all about decision fatigue? Is there any additional, you know, problems that come if you have ADHD?
You know, I don't work on ADHD, but it is definitely related to the brain functionings that I'm studying. And so we know that people's ability to integrate information and really maintain focus can be hampered by conditions like ADHD. And those are the same mental activities that really enable us to make good, efficient decisions. And so it does make sense that when you've got family members who have, as the caller said, executive dysfunctioning, kind of like challenges in those domains, then yeah, that would make the decision-making aspect all the more challenging. I would also just, I'd like to say that I like that the caller really identified a way to say yes. I feel like the pandemic is not just difficult decisions with potentially dangerous outcomes. It's also just been a series of no. No, 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 no. Don't do this. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've really just said no to ourselves and to our family members so much that I really appreciate that she was able to really kind of flip the script a little bit and say, in a sense, like, not right now, but we're going to do it later. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really pretty clever.
Yeah, like just jumping ahead, let's just look at the summer. Things might be better in the summer, or, you know, there might be more opportunities to do things in the summer. But, you know, spring break, we're going to put that on hold for now, or pass on that.
Yeah.
Let's take another phone call in Minneapolis. Debbie is on the phone. Debbie, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. We are hanging on out here.
Good. What did you want to share with us about decision fatigue?
Well, you know, my perspective is one of an older parent with grown kids. And I think during this time, it's important to put the whole situation in context. And I think our kids can even understand this, that, you know, sometimes moms and dads have to say no. You know, sometimes, you know, we need to worry less about, in my opinion, we need to worry less about disappointing them and more about what are the values that we're teaching our children. And, you know, when you're in a global pandemic where 500,000 people in this country alone, 520 people have died, I really think, you know, not that you pound that on little kids, but I think it's very important that we keep things in perspective about that this is an incredible moment in time in which all of us are called upon to make tough decisions and do the right thing. Not just for our kids so that we don't disappoint them because so they don't get to fly to some, you know, spring break location, but to make sure that we did the right thing for everyone to keep everyone safe. And I think even youngish children can understand that message. And we need to enroll them. I mean, I keep thinking about World War II and what my mom and dad went through as young people during that time, or the Depression. And it's so different now. And I think sometimes it doesn't hurt us to look through the lens of history.
Thank you. That's Debbie in Minneapolis. Nikki, I want to get some advice from you and to share with our listeners, too. Do you have some more suggestions of activities in Minnesota, just, you know, places or things we can do that are a short drive away? Maybe just, you know, day by day, we could break it up for people who are looking for ideas of what to do with their kids when there's no class.
Yes, we've got quite the list going already for summer. But that I love what the caller said. I just want to say the caller that said to plan ahead, I love that. I'm a big planner. I think that A, gives you something to look forward to, and B, takes away that wake up in the morning and the overwhelming feeling has returned. Mm-hmm. We all know that it's awful, but if you have it there in writing or in, you know, something for everyone to look forward to. Ideas that we have loved doing. And as I said, I have some, my kids are a little younger, but we do take a lot of road trips. It took Duluth is a wonderful example. The whole North Shore, everything can be done outside. Same with the Detroit Lakes area. We could go down to Red Wing, Hastings. There's bluffs all over the place. If hiking is your thing, there's Stillwater Arcola Bluffs. There's this gorgeous Quarry Park near St. Cloud. We utilize the All Trails app, and that has been our savior for 12 months. It shows you exactly where to go, to a trailhead, what's there. You know, we've done simple things like waterfall tours. You just drive around Minneopa, Minnehaha, Hidden Falls, even to Menominee for Devil's Punch Bowl. Eau Claire has great stuff, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. But then even just simple things that you can do at home, you know, if you're really creative. My sister's a teacher and she does theme days because she's way better at this stuff than I am. But, you know, we've done an indoor racetrack day. So you move all your furniture and you get the scooters come in the house. That was a really bad idea for anyone that thought it sounded cool. But beach days, art days, those are great. But even simple things. I took my five-year-old through a car wash the other day and he thought it was the coolest thing ever. We do trunk lunches. We've done, you know, pretend Italian restaurants with takeout buca because I don't cook well. Donut tours, ice cream crawls, kids' choice days. Like just throwing a kids' choice day in the middle of the week where you say, you pick.
I want to come hang with you. Can I have spring break with you, Nikki? I love all of those ideas. Oh, my goodness. Well, our time has come to an end here, but I appreciate the calls that we got from so many of our listeners as we talked about decision fatigue. And I really appreciate the advice that we got from our two guests, Kathleen Voss, a marketing professor in the Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota, where she studies decision fatigue, and Nikki Bruner, who blogs about adventure and travel with kids. You can find her at MiniMamaAdventures.com. And that's MinneMamaAdventures.com. This conversation today was produced by NPR's Maya Beckstrom and Katie Moritz.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. To add your voice to the conversation, you can call in at 651-227-6000 or tweet us at Angela Davis NPR. And if you missed us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. Thanks for listening.